Now, you know, for a while now, I think a number of Christians thought this was it. It's even perhaps the end of times. A lot of problems we have in our society, divorce on the rise, socialism and the like, where people are envious and desiring to steal things from us, liberalism run amok and wild in the church, as we heard a little bit in Sunday school class. These things can be discouraging. Simply the case. If we just open our eyes, and I don't want to go through the whole litany and wear you down, I think you're aware of these things. You see these things. Fear of rising tidal wave of wickedness upon conservatives. It looks like our time is short, and that what we have now, humanly speaking, is a reprieve for a little bit. In some regards, not everything. The enemies of God, the enemies of his people have said very clearly what they plan to do when they get in charge and what laws they want to pass and the wickedness and the like. Talk show hosts are frustrated. Listeners are angry. I listened to those for a long time. I haven't in a while. I know it's still there. It's just kind of what they attract to some extent. What should we do when people are concerned and fearful of these things? And I think it's worse even so in the churches and elsewhere in society. Do we have a reason to be consumed with fear? We should not. We should be trusting in God. We should be able to talk to them and say, look, read this verse. We ought to be wise, of course, and not just be foolish and say, you know, nothing's going to happen. God's in control. Because we don't have a particular promise exactly what that control looks like, other than he will return. And the things that are happening now are under his control. God's sovereignty is real, and we ought to be reminded of this fact. We are Calvinists, after all. And I thought it good to go over this again. What does it mean that God is sovereign? The definition of sovereignty, the different ways of defining it and explaining it and describing it. Sovereignty in action, his control and his power. We see it in a twofold fashion, the sovereignty in creation and in providence. Our confession talks about it. In creation, heaven and earth were created out of nothing. That kind of shows God's power, I think. They've been trying for a very long time among the scientists and the like to try to create life out of nothing. And they thought they had it in the 50s and 60s, and it was just nothing. It was a mistake. It was already there. It was pre-existing matter, what it turned out to be. And I was listening to a little lecture that George put out. It's quite interesting. I haven't heard the whole thing yet. And he's exactly right from my knowledge. He's a scientist, so he knows more. Not George, but the guy he passed on. Ask him about it. The lecturer is like, I work in this field. They can't create something out of nothing. They can't even create intelligence. You have to have intelligence to create intelligence. That's what we see in the real universe. Only God can do these things because God is all-powerful. That's the sovereignty of God in action. It is might and his power over creation as well as providence, where God works all things in history, time and space. They are part of his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. In Shorter Catechism, question 11. God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. Everything from the smallest quark and atom to the largest supernova and the black hole we discovered. Isn't that amazing? It has nothing on God. It can consume our earth. We could throw 1,000 nuclear warheads at it, kids. It would do nothing to that black hole. It would eat it up and say, thank you, you're going to have another. And that's nothing compared to God. Nothing. It's not even a drop in a bucket compared to his power and his might. Everything comes to pass because it's part of God's plan from eternity past. This is God's sovereignty. Nothing can stay his hand. Nobody can say, thus far and no further. The sovereignty of God is a mighty and awesome thing. Indeed. We see here in particular a description of this sovereignty. It may not be an amazing description to you, and partly it's because of, well, what it means to have a king. We Americans don't know what a king is. We kind of hear about it, we read about it, we've never experienced a king. One more particularly, a Middle Eastern king, or an ancient Near East, A&E as they say, ancient Near Eastern king, Oriental despots, they're called. And for a reason. The power of the king at that time, in the writing of this proverb, he was the most powerful human being on earth, bar none. If he had a great empire, the Egyptians had a great empire, the Babylonians had a great empire, the Assyrians, whoever was ascending, That king was the despot. He was in charge. And if he wanted to kill you, you'd be dead. If he wanted to take over this empire and take over Turkey or Egypt, they did. That's what they were doing. They went to war all the time, every spring. And the biggest one would win. The man with the biggest club won the day. That's the power and the might of these Oriental despots. And even though if he didn't know the king, he could just sit there and simply say, Herod did. Remember Herod? He was a despot. What did he say? Death to all the children. Death to all. He's just, there you go. We're going to do it. In America, we have that. The abortion industry. Except people voluntarily go to them to kill somebody. Here it was top down instead of bottom up. It's bottom up. It's okay. It's democracy, right? It makes it okay. That's a despot as well. They think they're powerful. These kings had a power. Our president doesn't understand. Putin has nothing on this man. They don't influence elections back then because they didn't have elections. The king came along and said, I'm in charge. I got the biggest sword. I have all the chariots. I have all the power. And you're going to do what I tell you to do. Period. That's what an Oriental despot was. He wanted your wife, he'd take it. No questions asked. He wants your kids to work in the slave pits of a mining field, mining cave, he'd do it. Let's call you and do it. Period. That's the kind of control and power they had. Kings today don't have anything like that. The closest we have are some tyrants. Cuba was like that for a little bit, but even then they kind of have limits because they're kind of outnumbered on a small island. They can get killed. So these Oriental despots were men of power and might. No parliament to hold them back and the like. No controls, no constitutions. Remember Queen Esther? And they explain that story. They give you a little background, right? And you see, if the king doesn't call you to his presence in the throne room, what could happen to you? Remember, kids? And she went in without him asking, without him demanding it. She knew what she was doing. She was going into a dangerous situation where she could die. That was brave of her. Very brave. Very courageous. And the king, by God's grace, said, oh, that's my favorite. Come on in. And she appealed and protected God's people. But that is the kind of king we are talking about here. Not a Trump, not an Obama, nothing of that caliber. These kind of men would make these people look like children. The kind of power and the exercising of that power, the ruthlessness, sticking your head on a pike, that's what they would do if you crossed them the wrong way. This is the kind of power they're talking about. So when it says here, the king's heart, that despot who you think is the most powerful human being on earth, who wants your field, wants your wife, who wants your kids, who wants your land, who wants your country, he'll just take it. And he can. He's nothing compared to God. That's what's being said here. God himself, it says, the king's heart, the essence of who he is, his decision processes, his emotions, his will, all that within him, his soul, is in God's hand. The king thinks he's in charge. Cyrus thinks he's in charge. Trump thinks he's in charge to whatever he thinks he's in charge of. Macron thought so too, but apparently he lost. They all think these things. They're arrogant, most of them. And God just, no, you're nothing. I'm in charge. I'm the power. You want a despot? I'm your despot. I'm the one that got the control, and I'm exercising it. Despot just means the one in charge, period. Got all the power. Pharaoh, Nero, nothing. Nothing on God. As a child would direct the rainwater down the side of the sidewalk when you play when you're a little kid, I remember this, in Westminster, going out there in a torrent like this. Oh, great, let's all go out there, guys, and build a little dam and direct the water down a path over here to the G.I. Joes or something and play around with it. That's God playing with the hearts of Oriental despots. Of course, it's not playing as though God is a little child and has no plan. He has an exact plan. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's in charge. Completely and utterly. Today's presidents, judges, and parliaments who think they have power, the European Union, The Supreme Court, Putin, he's affecting elections, right? Clinton, Obama, they're all in God's hands. Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. God is behind all this. And it's part of his unfathomable plan to direct things in the way they're supposed to in history and time, for the good of his people, for the good of you, and ultimately for his glory. Congress and Supreme Court, the military powers and mights, the nuclear bombs, China rising up on the horizon, thinking they're going to be in charge. Your biggest problems, the concerns you have in life, the difficult boss, hard-headed coworker, the noisy and nosy neighbors causing problems, they're nothing. If God is in charge, if he can move the heart of the most powerful man on earth, what is every other person on earth compared to that? Nothing. I mean, you can't do what Pharaoh could do, what Cyrus could do. We don't have that power today. It's all hammed down by our rules and controls in Western civilization in particular. Even Putin isn't that powerful. If they could do nothing, and they're in God's hand, how much more the rest of us, who are nothing compared to that great and mighty Oriental despot. Now, how can this be, you ask yourself? How can there be a God who's in charge of the most powerful people on earth? And the king's heart is in his hands like the rivers of water, and he just moves it where he wishes and directs it. Because we see in the Bible that there are two sides to these events in life. There's the God side and there's the man side. It's not a contradiction. We're not saying it is man's responsibility and it is not man's responsibility. We're not saying God is sovereign and God is not sovereign. Right? And Matthew had the old, A is not A. I mean, you're saying A is A. We're not saying A is not the opposite of itself. We're not saying God is powerful and not all powerful. You are a man and you're not a man. That's a contradiction. There's no contradiction here. There's a mystery. How can you both be responsible? Of course, God's responsibility is not such that he's at fault when we sin. James is clear about that, and so is the Old Testament. We have here an interesting picture of this, and I won't go down to the details of this, in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 21 and in 2 Samuel 24. In 1 Chronicles, I had the shorthand version here. 1 Chronicles 21:1 and then 2 Samuel 24:1. They're both the beginning of the chapter. They're kind of close, 21 to 24. Now Satan stood up against Israel. Remember this? And moved David to number Israel. They weren't supposed to do that. They weren't supposed to find out how strong and powerful they were, because they're supposed to rely upon God as their nuclear bomb, as Leonard always liked to say. He was the one who's going to protect them from their enemies with the miracles. He promised miracles. We're not given miracles today. We've got to start counting noses, don't we? They're not supposed to do that. That showed their lack of faith. This is why it's a problem at the time. And so, now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. 2 Samuel 24:1. Again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. This is the same event described from a different perspective. And moved, and he, that is God, moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. So on the one hand, you have Satan moving David. On the other hand, you have God moving David. Which is it? Yes. It's not confusing. There's two moral agents in action here, right? Two moral agents. God, the devil, and of course the third one is David. It wasn't as though David was kicking and screaming. That's not the picture here. It's not like David's like, oh, the devil's forcing me and dragging me. He wanted to do it. The devil's involved in his wanting to do it, to be sure. How? I don't know exactly. And of course God said, I'm behind the whole thing. It's not like the devil caught me off guard here. Oh, there he goes. He's off his leash now. God's behind all of it. And you have glimpses of this curtain. We see that in Genesis and elsewhere, where it shows devils, demons coming into the false prophets. Remember, who's going to go deceive God's people? And the demon said, I'll do it. God said, okay, go for it. Remember that? You're like, whoa! Whoa, 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 what's going on here? What's going on here is God's in control. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. And we see some of the methods God uses to move these kings, to move these people, so that his plans are exercised perfectly. And so God is in charge. There are two moral agents involved in every act, at least God and whatever agent is involved. Us, angels, devils, demons. That's the case. That's what we have in the Bible. That's as far as we go. Now, we know means and ends go together. Unless the Lord builds the house and watches, they who build and watch labor in vain. Psalm 127. You're supposed to do what you can, but it's still part of God's plan, whether anything happens. You don't know, so you do. This is what we're called to do. And so the difficulties in our life, we have to remember, it's part of God's plan. God's sovereignty is relevant to the difficulties in your life. That difficulty isn't Satan running off without a leash and harrying you and making life difficult for you, making your coworker, your boss, your house, the roof collapsed in or something like that. That wasn't like, oh, God's like, whoa, where did that come from? No, this is part of his plan to mold you and your situation that you may grow as a Christian, learn to trust him. He's in charge. Believe that. God is greater than all those difficulties in your life. That's why this doctrine is important. And it was certainly important to me as I was growing up as a Christian, as a young man. Because it was sure scary being taught as Pentecostal, Satan is real and he can possess Christians. He is real, he cannot possess Christians. The Spirit possesses you, that's all it is. That is, you have the Spirit. Bad word, but... No, God's in charge. God uses leaders to goad us, also to obedience and prayer and knowledge and patience. Perhaps we hadn't been paying attention, and that's part of what's going on in America. God gave us these leaders we don't want, but that is as Christians, but perhaps it needs to wake us up to pay attention to issues that we have. Now, there's a few things I want to remind us, and perhaps the kids need to hear this, of what it means and does not mean that God is in control and God is sovereign. Fatalism is the idea because God is in control, then it doesn't matter what I do. It's fated to happen. It's not true at all. There's the old story that Victor Atala likes to give about the Muslim taxi driver. They drive like nut jobs there because they have a fatalistic view of their God, their so-called God. And they don't have to obey the rules of the law. They said, if I'm supposed to die in a car accident as a taxi driver, then that's Allah's will. This is how they act. We don't believe that. We believe God gives us the means, the tools, the instruments to accomplish the ends, like living. I got to eat. I got to drink. I got to drive and avoid cars and not be a nut job on the road. That's fatalism. That's not what we teach. That's not what the Bible teaches at all, very clearly. Of course, irresponsibility is another one. People like to say God's in control, so why bother? God doesn't believe for you. God doesn't repent for you. You do that. The kids see that, and they kind of know that intuitively, and that's good. They listen to their parents, and hopefully they will listen to God as well. And so, God is sovereign. I don't want to go through all the verses. You can explain that. You can see that in Proverbs 16. You can see that in Ephesians 1. You can see that elsewhere. All kinds of passages. Write them down in your Bible if you need to, because other Christians don't believe this. They may say they believe in God's sovereignty. I talked about believing in God's sovereignty, and then you give them like Proverbs 21:1, and they're like, that's not quite what you think it means. I heard this on the radio. I remember this very clearly, even to this day. Now I live near where it happened, off of Wadsworth, south of Hampton. I was coming out of a work site when I was working with this building that's there now and putting in the wires and everything else through the walls for telephony. And in the car, they're bemoaning problems. So this was in the 90s, so it'd be Clinton. Bemoaning Clinton, this is terrible. And the guy quotes the Bible passage to the Christian on the radio program, the host. He says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of the water, he turns it wherever he wishes. I was like, great, I'm glad you said that. That's good. I remember that verse. I'm learning these things now. This guy must be a Calvinist. And out of his mouth, the next breath is, but, you know, if Clinton wants to do whatever he wants to do, then he does it because he's got free will. Oh, that's what Proverbs 21:1 is. Oh, I missed that. I was angry. I'm in the car going, what kind of, that's terrible. Why would you say, you call yourself a Christian host? Christians hear this stuff, and you can be there to help them overcome the difficulties in their life by giving them the truth. The truth is God's behind this. He's in control. Don't blame the devils in the sense that, well, they're in charge, not God. for the difficulties of life and everything else, God's behind it. You're not falling out of his will or something like that. Not at all. They need that comfort. There are Christians who really struggle and have a hard time. And they need to be comforted with this. Now, comfort, the second point, I've bled into this, obviously. Comfort is partly the acceptance of your situation. If you cannot change something, I don't know, like your spouse, your boss, or your neighbor. We had some neighbors like that with yapping dogs. You just have to accept it. You do what you can, but you can't make your neighbor do something, obviously. And it may take time, as in our case. Meanwhile, what do you got to do? You just have to accept the situation. Not be angry at one another. Not yell at God. But realize, you know, God has got a reason for this. You may not always know the reason. You may think you know the reason. It might be a different reason later on. At the end of the day, you have to have that childlike faith that says God knows exactly why you're going through what you're going through. And eventually you will learn it, I believe, and you're going to glorify God all the more in heaven and go, wow, that's the way this everything worked out. Those strands in this difficult situation, that's amazing. And I never saw it at the time. Comfort in the fact that God can change situations. Keep praying, keep working to that end. We worked with our neighbor, we were patient with our neighbor. I talked to him a couple of times. That wasn't just the dog, there was someone else who liked to, at 11 o'clock at night, play loud music behind us in the other street. It's thump, 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 thump. I'm like, excuse me, do you have kids? Yes. It's a school night, right? Okay, one of those people. So a couple of times, and I gave them some rope to hang themselves, essentially. It wasn't my plan. My plan was they would just stop it because they're mature adults, and they didn't. Eventually, I had to call the cops on them, and it got resolved. That's okay. God helped me resolve it. He gave me a brain. He gave me the police. I used the means, and the ends were accomplished because God's behind all that. If you live in a chaos universe, there is no means and ends. It's just pure chaos. You cannot have a connection of cause and effect without a sovereign God. So the comfort there is God's behind the king's heart. In this case, he didn't want to move her heart, so he moved the heart of the police, and they said, okay, we'll get a hold of her, and she shut it down. Trust in God at all times, regardless of the difficulty of the situation. Trust does not mean that it will go your way. It may not go your way at all. It may go the opposite way, as our brothers and sisters find out in the Middle East. The trust is God knows what he's doing, no matter how difficult it is, even if I lose a leg, lose a family, lose my life. What's going to happen at the end of the day is I'm going to heaven, and I can glorify God with a better body, without sin, which is my desire in life. So, don't have a false comfort, but a real comfort that understands the Bible, that God is in control, and that these powers and mights, these authority figures, these judges, these plans of wicked men are nothing compared to God. They will not overthrow his plan and will not catch him off guard. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's in charge. And you can pray, and things can change. He has given us means to change things, like I changed my neighbor's behavior. Try to be rational. She didn't want to listen to rationality, so he used the law. Sometimes we have to do that, don't we? To protect our family, protect our churches. This is what God has given us. We don't live in this kind of weird kind of, well, maybe God will make miracles for us and change things. No, this is what God has given us. He has given us prayer to come before him because we know he is the ruler of all the rulers in this world. That he would change their hearts and give us freedom, as we had in America for many, many generations. Give us protection, as we're praying for now, for our brothers and sisters who may lose their job for doing the right thing, or at least wanting to follow their conscience. And our brothers and sisters in the Middle East in particular, of course. So, how can we in practice exercise this knowledge that God is in control, that God is behind all the rulers, he moves hearts and minds to do exactly what he wants them to do? The comfort we have is this, and how we practice it. Duty is ours, results are God's. John Quincy Adams. We have a duty. Our duty is to pray to God, pray for those who are difficult in our life or situations that are hard in our life, so pray for them that they would change or against the situation that it would change. Because we have a God who can change it and has changed it and changes it right before our eyes. We see it. We just don't always realize it. The fact that you got your house fixed, it might have been a pain. I know some of you are going through this. I've gone through some of this. But you've got to persevere through God's means, and things change because God's in control, not because you're in control. And it happens in His time and in His way. Things go a different way. You didn't realize, oh, wow, look, I got extra money here. Or the insurance company decided to do it a little differently to my advantage. Or my neighbor finally said, you know, I guess I need to stop being difficult. Your coworker one day says, okay, you know, I've been thinking about it. I know you've been very nice and patient, and I guess I should stop being difficult and cooperate with you. These things happen. Haven't they? Of course they have. Didn't say they always will, but you don't know until you try and pray to God and work and do your duty, but trust in God that the results will come as He will, when He wills, and what He wills. The results aren't always what you want. It's what He wants, and that should be fine with us. So when trouble comes, be prepared, stir up Bible verses, pray to Him and realize He is in charge, to remind yourself again, remind each other, not to be discouraged, as society is certainly going down the toilet in our lifetime. We don't know how far down the toilet. Things have changed in some regards politically in some places. Just keep praying and doing what you can and trusting in God. You trust in God, you trust in His Word, and His Word says what? I am your sovereign Lord. I am the ruler of rulers, the king's heart, the parent's heart, the child's heart, the judges, the presidents, the sheriffs, are all in God's hands. And we don't know exactly what that means because we don't know exactly His plans. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the revealed things belong to us. And what was revealed to us in His Word is a work towards righteousness. Do good that more good may come and abound. Knowing that God's behind all that and that our efforts are not ultimately futile, but ultimately part of His plan. Romans 8:38 we read, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why? Because God is sovereign. Amen. Let's pray. We thank You for this glorious doctrine, a little proverb we can learn and teach our children this too. That God's in control. And if these kings of the Old Testament, who were the most powerful men on earth, were nothing compared to God, then what do we have today? But nothing compared to God. Nothing has changed. You are in control. And may we have comfort in that, God, and pray, and continue to pray, that we would be part of Your plan, as You have promised in Your words, and that we, God, would glorify Your name by praying and trusting in Your righteous sovereignty. In Your name we pray. Amen.